You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I remember walking around the court square sidewalks.
8 minutes after nine, we continue on the Thursday. Joining me now is Michael Musselman. Gunner, what's going on? How you doing? How's the garage?
Oh, the garage is good. I mean, like I said, Friday we start, so tomorrow's the last shipment comes in, and, man, nervous. Like I said, I can't sleep.
You can't sleep?
No, because I start thinking of, like joints, like how I'm going to cut this, what does the drawers look like, you know, like I said, dude, like, because I get so, like, wrapped into the details, it's like, okay, the board thickness is 0.703 inches, all right? And then I'm putting, you know, so I'm like, And I know that what I'm trying to do is trying to figure out all the way down to, like, the ten thousandths of an inch, but it's wood. Doesn't matter, right?
Well, that's the beauty of wood, and until you work with it, you don't really know that. But if you, when you start working with wood, if you're fortunate enough to work with somebody who's done it, especially done it professionally, you can bend wood. You can do things with wood. That's why it's so cool to work with, as opposed to other composites that you can't really do anything with.
It's forgiving. It's a little more, you know. But like I said, I'm just making sure that. So I did the chalk lines last night on the wall to get them kind of – so I got a little mock cut out of the shelves, like how high. So I made sure that they covered the studs, make sure we did the chalk outline to make sure all of that distance is fine, you know, and everything else. So it's looking pretty good. So I'm getting kind of excited.
All right. And big news out of Texas. Beto O'Rourke's going to run for president.
Huge news, man. God, you know, I don't know what. I am glad. I'll just say I'm super happy today that he announced that. Now I can go on with my life. Because, boy, I was holding my breath.
You know? That happened. Well.
Yeah.
A lot of people really excited about that. A lot of people really excited.
Yeah, I don't know. Who are those people? I'd like to know.
Yeah, but there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. We know that because the media is very excited about it. So that was big news. Now, Joe Biden still hasn't made an official announcement.
Dude, I hope so, because that would just muddy the whole water for the Democratic Party.
How many people are involved in that race so far? I mean, there's it's like standing room only. Like, how do you have a debate with that many people? Everybody gets 30 seconds to answer. That would actually be a quality debate.
And then Hillary gets into it. That'd even be better.
No, really? Come on.
Because, you know, it's so fun to watch Democrats mudsling. Because they're dirty, too. You know, everybody, politics makes you dirty.
I know. It's anybody who's in that business is dirty. If you can do it and not be like that, then God bless you. But I think most of the people that are involved in it, you know, the people that run against them get into it, so they have to get into it. So it's interesting because you see people like, you know, people that are big-time guys. Like, does Lindsey Graham still have to do that? Right?
Yeah.
Does Dianne Feinstein still have, Dianne Feinstein didn't even win the nomination of her party in the state. You know? I mean, what happened? So, I don't know. It's just, that's a bad business and it's getting worse. So good luck to all you politicians. So, but that was big news today. And then, cheating scandal in the news, still. What else in the news today? My alma mater's in that cheating scandal.
Oh,
yeah.
Cheater? Did you get paid? Is your degree paid for? Is that what you're trying to tell me? You're coming clean?
My parents paid for it.
Cheater. Cheetah.
Exactly.
What was that? Bobby Boucher, right? On that, what movie was that? Waterboy. He's nothing but a cheetah. I like how he says that with that little, he's a cheetah.
What else is in the news today?
I'll tell you what's in the news.
What?
Something that pissed me off last night.
Oh, no. I thought you weren't watching the news.
It wasn't the news. It was like in a discovery program or like an ID discovery, right? A forensic show. And they were talking about the Trader Joe shooting in California last year. Remember that?
Trader Joe shooting.
Yeah, gunman runs into Trader Joe's, takes hostages, you know, and it was in California last year. Guy was getting chased by police, crashed into the side of Trader Joe's, ran into Trader Joe's.
Okay, then what happens?
Okay, so they're interviewing the people, the survivors, you know. Oh, my God. So I'm listening to this. At first, it seemed like a little interesting. And then, all of a sudden, up rears its ugly head, the language of losers. So one of the things that we talk about when we talk about winning, post-traumatic winning, is we got to stop this self-sabotaging lifestyle, depression. A lot of that we do to ourselves. So we're talking about, you have saboteurs, as I call them, people that are nothing but saboteurs in your life. And you know them. You have friends that are saboteurs. Everything is, you know, like, oh, man, what a great day. Oh, so hot. I know, but it's, look at the sun. It's so bright. Yeah, let's go eat. I'm so fat. It's so expensive. You know, this whole self-sabotaging lifestyle where they can't look at anything in the plus side. So the first thing one of the girls says last night says, you know, they're interviewing her and she's like, then he burst inside the store and then I saw the gun and then I knew I was going to die. What? You know, and I wish I'd been the interviewer. Like, wait a second. You saw a guy with a gun and you knew that was the day you're going to die. Yes. What? Who thinks like that? Oh, yeah. Defeatists. Saboteurs. People that live this self-sabotaging lifestyle. That they look at something, and all they see is the negative in it. They can't find the positive. So you read, you talk about it, so there's the two sides of the story. What this guy writes a long time ago is about patriots and saboteurs. Patriots, people that look up and use the language. And so we talk about the language of losers, and it's the old story of if, ands, and buts were candy and nuts, every day would be Christmas. Because it is true. People that say but, you know, all the time. You know, oh, my life's going great, but. Or if only, you know, I hate when stories start out. If only I could, shut up. Did you get up off the couch and try something? Did you go out and do something? So don't use the word if, because you didn't try. If is, and try is another one. I hate the word try. I will try. No, then don't do it. Try insinuates that there's a possibility of failure. Say, no, it'll get done. And it's kind of like when you're around Marines, you know, we talk about Marines. You know the good Marines because, you know, you like you said, Luke, Bronzy, you know, those guys, Rudy, Metro, the guys we served with, you know, you go to them and you're like, hey, Rudy, I got a problem, man. Here's the problem. Boom, 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 boom. And you know, never hear from Rudy, but only if, no, or I wonder if I could try. Let's try. No, he's like, all right, we'll make this work. Okay, we need to do this in order for, you know, so you're looking at how do we bridge the gap? And it all comes across like, you know, the only guy to say no is the boss. You don't get to say no. Find the word yes. Find the yes. And, you know, that was kind of my belief was when I'd tell guys, and you're like, no, Master Guns, no, listen to me. I don't care, okay? Let's find the yes in here. Where can we get this done? How can we get it done? Let's change it to something that we can solve. You know, and you get people that don't understand when you say that. Let's change the problem set to something that's solvable then. If the problem is impossible, okay, then why keep attempting it? Let's change change it to something that we can solve. And they look at you like, what are you talking about? Okay, because you're running into the wall. You're a one-dimensional type of thinking guy. You can't get past this. And then when life shits on you, then it's the, I gave it my best try. Only if, you know, I intended to, I really wanted to, if only, you know, God, I hate those things. You know, the worst words or worst little sentence that we use in the human life is, good job. You know, because it implies what? Just an inch over to complete failure and an inch from total success. That whole term, good job. You know, hey, good job. You tried, good job. No, try? What do you mean you tried? You gave it your big boy try? I'm like, shut up. I just hate this. But all through the show, oh, I was going to die. Oh, I didn't know what I was going to do. Oh, I was, you know, and now that they're live, they're talking about how much of, you know, oh, my hero. I don't want to be compared to heroes. Well, no one is. So no one said the word hero. You're the only one. By the way, you know, you survived, okay? And you survived. And one woman came forward and talked to this guy and kind of related and showed human decency, respect, back and forth, talked about this. She let her life out. She did the old, you know, dealing with trauma. Little story right there, you know. Hey, I know what you're going through. The guy's like, what? You're a white lady shopping in Trader Joe's. No, no. I'm a recovering heroin addict. I got my life together. You know, I know what you're going through. You can live a better life. This is what she's saying to this guy. I know people that have gone through this and come out and they've lived better lives. You can do this. You know, it's not too late. Don't let it go any further. Just as positive. And this guy surrenders because of this woman. Now, one woman gets shot. And it's actually, you know, this is the kind of shitty thing. The woman is shot by police. She's the manager of Trader Joe's because the guy runs into the store, so the police open fire. Bam, 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 bam. Straight bullet hits the manager, kills her. Well, you know, in a situation like that, police don't get the blame. It's blamed on the criminal because he set everything in motion. If he hadn't have been there, so there's a law that, you know, unless it's downright murder type thing. No, if it's a straight bullet, the criminal gets the blame. So he gets this whole, you know, attempted murder on a police officer because he pointed a gun at him, brandished a weapon, third degree murder or whatever on the woman that lived, you know, worked there. He goes to jail, but this woman, the only woman in the whole group, you know, you want to applaud her, but everybody else is trying to take credit for it. I hid in the closet for 3.5 hours, and when it was all said done, the SWAT team had to come and get me because I was coiled underneath the sink. But here I am talking in front of you, telling you about my heroism and my valor and how I survived as a, you know, shit. You would have ate another human being if you had to stay alive. I mean, come on. There's a difference. And so I'm watching that show, and it just reminded me of this. The world that we live in of, you know, self-sabotage, behavior, depression. A lot of times people want to live in depression. They like to stay in depression because sometimes they get the attention that they need. Because that's what it is. It's an attention thing. Or they want to make you feel like they tried, man. And it goes to everything we do. You know, you see the guy hiking on the side of the road on a hump, and he's playing the, oh, I don't know which way is up and down, and he's, ooh, and then he casually falls down kind of comfortably so he doesn't hurt himself. Oh, ooh, ooh, and he sits down and then lays down, and sprawls out. Besides the guy that keeps going, all of a sudden face plants, breaks his nose, and dislocates his jaw. And then when you pick him up, he's like, what's going on? Mom, why are you here? No, there's a difference. So I just want to get that in my chest. Dude, I was pissed. I know. That was my rant.
We are like 22 minutes into this thing now. Well done, man. You must
that seemed like 2 minutes.
You must have been pissed. You must have been pissed watching that
But doesn't
show.
That piss you off?
I don't. You know what? I don't watch that much of that
No, I'm
show.
Not talking about TV, but just people in general when they live in the self-sabotaging behavior and want attention from it. I don't know how to go on with my life. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. There's number one. But who's going to feel sorry for me? No one. That's how it works. That's how life works.
Yeah, you know, I've set up my life so that I don't deal with that very much. I see it, like, I see it out the window of my truck.
Yeah, you see it all around you.
But I just wave to it. It's just like, I don't stop and deal with it. You know, I mean,
and that's why people think that I'm cruel and I'm cold-hearted. You know, because when they come to me with this, what's wrong? People don't like me. Okay, I barely like you. So what? What do you want to do? You keep acting like this, I am going to be one of those people. Why are you so mean to me? Because if you can't take the shit I'm giving you, then what? Life is going to kill you. You know, if this little thing right here that we're having, and you're having a hard time just getting through the conversation we're having because you're going to end up crying, your eyes are welling up because your feelings are getting hurt. Life is going to murder you.
Life, as I told my kids, life's not for pussies, man.
No.
It's not. I mean,
it'll eat you up.
You're going to fight for every
like
bit of happiness that you're going to get. You're going to fight for every bit of it.
Yeah. So know that going in. Teach your kids early. You know, it's like I said, that's why everything falls in line.
Yeah, you know? But Mike, I mean, when you look at our culture, one of the things that we talk about in post-traumatic winning is, you know, how do you, especially for young people, how do you look at adversity? Is that...
They don't look at it.
Because you come from a culture that doesn't really do it and really doesn't, tries to insulate you from adversity. Do you look at adversity as something that is a test for you on a daily basis? You know, that if you can conquer adversity when you go to the field, when you go to war, friction, as we call it on the battlefield, you have the life skills to do that, man. I know how to do that. Do you look at it like that, or do you look at it as something that is, oh my God, you know, life's rolling on me. Oh my God, you know, what do I do? How do you look at it? You know, and there's a really cool audio or video clip of a rabbi that talks about lobsters, the way lobsters grow is they feel uncomfortable. If lobsters were human, they'd never grow because whenever you feel uncomfortable, you'd get a Percocet, you'd get a Valium, and you'd stay the way you are. And it's true. And so you have to look at adversity and life's adversity as normal and as a challenge for you to grow, to be better things and not be what driving my crazy, like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening to you. Oh, really? What did you... And so here's the question. What did you think was going to happen to you? As life unfolds, what did you think was going to be your path on this planet? You know, that it was not going to be occupied by both ups and downs, only ups? And I think
you thought your name was in the credits?
Right, right.
Like you're somebody?
Right, yeah. But even the somebodies, guess what? They have downs, right?
Yeah.
Robin Williams hung himself. That's how he died. So it's like we have somehow or other we're selling people that there is no downside to life. And
we normalize it. We make it so everybody failure, it's an option. It's instead of making failure one, there's two ways. One,
you're on the verge of an important point here. Don't fuck it up.
Well, the more times you something, you know, fail often. And I tell people that time, fail often and fail with grace because you will fail more times than you succeed. But the more success you have in life means the more failures you've had. So go out and seek it. Don't go out and try and fail. I mean, by all means, go out there and try and succeed at it. But if you fail, know that's okay, you know, and keep moving on and accept it again because you got to keep pushing forward. And the only way you can succeed is through failure. and understanding that, but also know that failure is not an option. You know, don't just rest and go, oh, I gave it my best shot. I'm out. You know, that's it. I'm done. I gave it my one try.
No, because, you know, again, the key life skill is getting up, dusting yourself off,
yeah,
right, and getting after it. Grit your teeth, pay attention more, work harder, and if you keep getting up, guess what? You're going to evolve that, all those losses, you're going to evolve those into a win. And I think it's important, though, that if you just say, well, it's okay, you tried hard, you have to look at them and say, it's not okay. You can do, you're capable more. And you have to be honest with somebody. If they're doing as much as they can do and that's where they're at and it ain't going any higher, then you know what? You can say, hey man, look, you're here. This is good, right? You know, you've done great. But if they're capable more, you've got to look at them and you've got to challenge, because that's life's lesson. You can do more. You can be better. Right? And even people that have hit a ceiling, it's a different challenge. Hey, look, you've maxed out everything, that all your capabilities that you have and all the assets that you have around you. So guess what you have to do now? You have to kick a hole in that ceiling, right? You have to get another capability to get you through that ceiling. You can do it. But it's that overcoming adversity is the single most, I think, important skill in life. And so when you say, as long as you tried, it's okay, that's not okay. Life is not intentions-based. It is results-based.
You know, and that's the key. A lot of people don't realize that.
I don't give a shit what you intended.
They believe wholeheartedly it's intentions-based.
No, I don't give a shit what you intended. I only care what you did.
But, Mac, I tried really hard. Yeah. I gave my best.
Yeah.
I went into it wanting to be successful.
That's my kids where this conversation goes. They're rolling their eyes now.
Yeah. Mine doesn't even bring this up to me.
Right, because they know. They can give you the lecture.
Yeah, because they're like, you know, it's funny because, you know, my daughter will just go, she'll say it, but not like say it. Like, Dad, listen, I don't want my teeth kicked in. I just want to talk to you about this, you know.
Whoa, why would you say something like that, buddy?
Yeah, because she's like, yeah, you're really good at kicking my teeth in when I need it. And I'm like, but babe, I love you. I know, and I love you too, but I understand that, you know. And like I used to tell my daughter when she was so little, is the problem is, my sweetheart, is I love you. And she's like, looks at me like, what? And I see.
Don't go there with me.
Yeah, Annie and Janie's mom and dad, they probably don't love them as much. And the reason being, because they don't give a shit about what their daughter's doing.
Life without consequences.
I do. And the problem is, I love you. And the more I love you, the more I care about you. And the more I care about you, the more times you can get your teeth kicked in. You know, and she's like, okay, Dad, I got it. You know? And, yeah, such is the lesson of life. And she gets it. She does. I mean, she comes to me first thing and says, hey, Dad, before you get mad, I got a B, but here's the plan to get her an A. And the wife's like, why are you so mean to her? B's good. B's horseshit. B's the first loser. It's called second place.
Well, no. I don't agree. If
I do.
If B is as good as
so
you can do.
She did A's before.
Right. Okay. That's right.
Yeah. So you're right. I agree. If B is as good as you can do, then B's the A.
Yeah.
I got it. Not everybody can do it.
Right.
But what I'm in this situation was, she got A's before in the same. And she let it slide, and she let me know, Dad, I let it slide because I was focusing on this. Okay. And it's not going to happen again. And it didn't. She got him back
because
up.
I was focusing on Netflix.
Yeah, right.
And you're talking, and again, the reason, I think Mike and I feel the same way about this, because we grew up like this. We were like junior con men. I got student achieving below apparent capability. I swear to God, every report card I ever got. And my dad almost knocked me out when he said something to me about it. And I said, I think they're overestimating my capabilities. And he just looked at me and he said, don't ever say that to me again. I said, yes, sir. I could smell danger when it was present, like a dog smells it. I said, yes, sir. That was the end of that conversation. But we know because we bullshitted people about our own capabilities.
Yeah. Right?
And then we've seen, you know, just, you know, when you look at kids and young people say, hey, you failed, man. I believe in you. I know you can do it. Get in there, man. Get it done. They'll go in there and they'll knock it out. But they don't have people saying that to them. Oh, as long as you tried, that's good. We're all winners, right? Yes. Yay. Let's all come in for the group hug. That's the culture our kids grow up in. And it normalizes failure. And that's the way we do it now. And you got to knock that out of them. You got to knock that out of them. As Mike has so eloquently said for 20 minutes.
I used to say, I used to hear people go, I want to, or I want, you know, that whenever someone said want to, like in a sentence, I'd look at it, you know, I'd put it on the sentence, and then they get done, and I'd look at them, and I always say, you know, when I was little, I used to say, I want to be an astronaut. And they looked at me like, sir? I said, you know, when I was little, I used to say, I want to be an astronaut when I grow up. So in the same context that using I want to do, I said, so mine was the same. So the meaning is the fantasy. Let's change that. And they're like, what? I am. I am. And, oh, they yes, sir. Because that's a directive. You're doing it. There's not, oh, yeah, I'd like to. I'd want to. Desire without commitment.
I'm going to.
Yeah. And I love that. It's because it is. As long as we show desire, commitment, I don't want to commit to those results because if they fail, I'm stuck with it. Yeah, then the stink is on me. And, you know,
we set up a system where we don't encourage that because, again.
The Marine Corps has that.
The critical life skill is overcoming failure. And so failure is not, you know, failure is a part of life. You know, we all know that. But if you live in a world that doesn't teach that skill, which is overcoming adversity and overcoming failure, then you're dooming your kids to living with their parents. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. It's I can't believe the way we're doing this today in this world.
Well, I mean, the most important thing is your feelings and how you feel about it.
Right.
And how you feel, not what you do, but what you feel. And again, you can see, you know, as you know, in when things we talk about, you know, how does that make you feel? You go from that culture to a culture that says, I don't give a shit how you feel. If I wanted you to have morale, we would have issued it to you. Okay.
Right.
And the disconnect, like, I'm like, where did I go? What happened? Like, I'm in a completely different world. And how do you move that person's cheese, right? To bring them to a better culture, a better way of life, a better way of life, a life that you're not going to be afraid of achievement and you're going to understand how to achieve. That's what I'm going to teach you. You know, as Mike has said, I love you so much, right? That I'm going to train the living shit out of you. Right, and I'm going to make sure that you know how to live, how to survive in all these different kind of conditions. And you may not thank me while you know me, but you will see the wisdom of it. And people do. And so you're trying to get them to come to that from a culture that doesn't do that.
Yeah, and then you get every once in a while you get the people that say words don't have meanings. Why are you so big on words?
What?
And I'm like, what? Oh, I hear that all the time. Words don't have meanings like that. Come on. You know, so here's what I tell them.
Like, what does that
words
mean?
Words don't have meanings. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to walk into a federal courtroom and say, bomb. See what happens to you. Words don't have meanings, right? Or yell fire next time you're in a library or a school. See what happens to you. Words have meanings, man. Everything.
Yeah, only those are like stupid people hear that stuff on like TV like that.
Yeah, words don't have meanings.
Right. And
words
then they repeat it like, you know, like the other one we've talked about is perception is reality. No, it's not. That your perception is that fire is not going to hurt you, right? I'm going to stick that fire against your skin and you're going to understand the difference between perception versus reality. You know, it's right. You hear that and you're just like, okay. Well, what you perceive to be is true for you. Well, that's not what we're talking about. Reality is what is real, not what you believe to be right. True. I hate yeah. You hear that. You're like, my God. My God. Here's a text message. Wow, Mike's being harsh today. Are you? He's harsh every day. It just depends what crosses his path. If he has to get it out and dust it off. And if he has to, he will. He does that. So, he's harsh every day. He's harsh every day. So, or at least he has that in his.
No, kit. I could be nice.
No, you can. But only in certain circumstances.
Yeah, don't ask me to be nice.
You have to earn nice.
Yeah, it's not going to be.
It's not given away. You earn nice, right? Somebody does the right things. They conduct themselves in the right way, and then they get nice. If you don't do that, then you don't get nice.
All right.
How about that? There you go. That's the way it works. In the last hour, Jeff Kenney and Tim Lynch were talking about Dave Grossman and his killology stuff. I'm curious about what the Gunner has to say about all of that. It seems like that is in his job description. Did you ever cross paths with Dave Grossman? You ever?
Oh yeah, we were one of the first ones before the Marine Corps even. Because I was with 3-5, so we had Grossman come out and talk. And that was 2003, 2004. Just before we 3-5 went to Fallujah, because we did all the Stu Seagal stuff down in San Diego, the hyperlistic training. We had Dave come out and talk about on killing,
so what
on
you,
killology.
What year was that? Would that have been?
Huh?
That would have had to been what, 2005?
No, it was 2000. It was before Fallujah. So it was 2004.
So what did you have to do with
like the early part, April, May?
Of 2000?
Yeah, 2004, just before 3-5 took off to Fallujah.
When did you, so what were you doing then? Because you were
I was just getting back from school, and I was the regimental gunner at 5th Marines.
Ah, now I understand.
So then when we got back, so Dave came down to 5th Marines and talked to the entire battalion in the auditorium, in the gym. And then we were talking about, you know, the whole On Killing series, you know. So it's evolved. I mean, he's talking a lot about, now, his killology stuff, you know, I think back then he only had like one or two books out. Now he's got a whole shitload of them.
Yeah, he's done a lot of things. I met him in 1990 when I went up to speak at West Point about decision making, and he sponsored it. He had this maneuver warfare group up there, and he had a manuscript of On Killing. That he gave us. He goes, hey, give me your thoughts on this. In 1990. And then I want to say probably around 2006, he came up to Grand Forks. And, I think it was post Columbine, and he was doing some things on how we desensitize kids, using video games to do these things. And he gave this thing to the public on a couple different nights while he was up there. So I got a chance to see him there. So he does a lot of different stuff now, from stuff with police to the military to stuff with community. So, yeah, Dave Grossman, big deal.
Yeah. I believe in a lot of his stuff.
Right.
There's only been a couple times where I disagreed with Dave, and I think one of the areas I disagreed was it's not inherently – we were talking about, is it inherent for a human to kill another human? And I think Dave's stance was no.
Yeah, it was.
And I disagree with that. And so when we talked about aggression and violence, you know, and how that works out and how that plays out, there's just a couple little fundamental things I just don't agree with, you know, as far as how that goes. And his, but everything else, yeah, I'm a full believer.
You believe that men are predisposed to kill other men?
Yeah, I do.
Based on? What are you based on?
Well, based on, if you look at just how we act towards one another, you know, how anger and violence, a lot of control. I mean, you could spiral out of control. I'm not saying we walk around with this thought of killing people all the time. No. But, you know, when we talk about aggression and violence and how that leads to killing, I think it's very, very reasonable for men anyway. Because of that hunter-gatherer, we're the hunter, we have a responsibility to defend. It's more of a... I hate to use general terms, but we're more predisposed to violence. Men are, and then certain people, depending on what kind of upbringing you had and everything else, it's just it's the way you look at things. So I think again, I think people, men, not so much women, but men. Are predisposed to anger, violence, and could kill, and it's not a big deal to them. They don't look at it like a normal being does. Like, you know, like I said, is killing hard for me? Yeah, it is. I don't like it. It angers me that, you know, you'd be like, why'd you put me in this situation to do this to you? But for the most people, I think there are some that because they lack that, I don't know, that gene, that chromosome or something, that they don't have that same type of empathy or compassion. And their anger can turn straight to that and go and fly off the handle and move something that quick without even thinking about any repercussions or any kind of consequences. So I just, after reading a lot of stuff and seeing how things work and, you know, look at history.
I don't think it's man. I agree with Grossman. I don't think it's in man's nature to kill. I mean, I think if cornered, some do. I think that.
I think that humans. It wasn't just that we as human beings are not. And I said, no, there are some.
Well, that's his point, though. There are some, and in any. And he uses Civil War, you know, evidence, and he cites different examples that say in any fight there will be a small group of individuals in any group that do the killing. The majority of the group do not participate in it. They're there, they're standing shoulder to shoulder with them, but they're not active shooters, they're not the fighters in it. And the thing was, you got to get more people to fight. And he uses an example of finding rifles, right? Muzzle-loaded rifles during the Civil War, with multiple rounds down the chamber. So what guys would do is they would load, right?
They wouldn't even shoot.
They would shoot. They'd load again.
The bottle. Right. And then load again.
And then these people were overcome by the events and were not able to function. And then there were others that were able to function. And part of our training had to be getting more people, right, enabling them to function under these circumstances. And that was the premise of the very early in his teachings. That was the first thing I think he brought to market.
So the one thing that we saw that was really significantly different was, I always say that, okay, so I've taken people's lives at range, meaning I've called an artillery strike before on a group of an enemy that was pretty far out there, and it hit, oh my God, it was like this was in the march up, it was a battalion 3, so a battalion 3 is a an entire artillery battalion firing every gun firing three rounds. And it was a fire for effect mission, DPICM. And it hit, and there was probably maybe, I don't know, six vehicles in a column, military vehicles, and it hit, and it took out like a whole grid square. And the first volley, you know, and then second volley, and then third, and it was just like, good God. I mean, I felt sorry for these people. Like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. You know, in that excess. So that's, and you don't get to see, you don't see humans. You don't see, you just see things being operated by humans. There's very detached feeling. You're like, okay, I can limit that. Then much later on, I shot at people at range, and I'd see firing, boom, 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 and I'd see the effects of my bullets, and then they'd go down. They just slump over, or they just fall over from running. You don't see anything, and you're okay with that because you don't see again. You're not there. You're not right up close. One of the hardest things that then I came back, and then I got into a real close quarter one, and I was probably about 3 feet. And man, when I fired, it was like I wasn't prepared for it because I didn't get sick, but it stuck with me. Oh my God. It was just like, you know, I'm thinking to myself, shit, you know, what the hell, you know, and it really screwed with me, for a couple days after that. But then I knew what the Marines were going through because, you know, there were guys that were shooting people from afar. You wouldn't see the effects having the same kind of, you know, effect on their body or their psyche that we're doing things up close. And I just had a hard, like, no, there's a difference. There is a difference. Right. And I said, you know, so I had kids in 3-5. I had a Marine that worked for me. He ultimately took his life, after the Marine Corps, but, we got him away from that and he became one of my guys. And so he would drive me around, just to give him a break because he got into it. He went into a room, point guy, and when he came in there, it was like three Iraqi insurgents in this room with him, and somehow the door got jarred closed or something. So he's the only guy in the room at first, and he's duking it out, kills one guy, shoots another guy, and then he's bashing the skull of another guy and he gets out of that, and this finally his buddies come in and say, you know, get in there and fight with him, but this had happened over and over and over with him. He was just like, I guess, one of the lucky guys that always like gets himself in a situation like that. But it was always kind of close quarter battle, like hand to hand. And when that becomes very personal. And
it's intimate, right?
It's extremely intimate.
Hearing their breathing, seeing their eyes.
Feeling their blood pulse through. I mean, it's...
Yeah. I was with somebody
touching
recently.
Touching their skin. Yeah, I mean, it's just...
I was with somebody recently.
Yeah, when you do something like that, it's super intimate.
Yeah, and he one of the things he struggles with is, you know, stabbing somebody. So feeling the knife, like, go into their body,
what
right?
What that feels like.
Yeah.
It's, and feeling the warm, you know, so you feel all that stuff. You feel the warm blood of another human being course out of his body onto, you know, so.
And then there's all the experiences, you know, and.
That smell, the taste.
The other half of that is, you know, that's the killing side. The other half of that is the saving side, trying to save people that are wounded, that you know, right, that are dying. And the horrible, intimate experience that is to have your hands on them, to watch their...
Or you have your hands in them.
In them, on them, right? And they're doing everything they can do to try to live, you know, and...
And you're doing your best to lie your best to them.
Right, and it's not working.
Okay.
It's not working.
Yeah. And you're trying to keep that face so he doesn't... You're trying to keep the poker face so he doesn't know. And you play this, like you said, you're dancing with them all the way there. And that's a horrible thing. So... Our guys go through this situation, and then they go up in front of a therapist that goes, okay, sit down and tell me how you feel. Fuck you. That's how I feel. I don't want to be here. You smell. Your office is dark. I mean, what do you want me to tell you? You know, I'm supposed to be truthful, right? You want me truthful now? Truth hurts? Okay, doc.
Yeah, we've got to get you know what? We've got to get away from that model, and post-traumatic winning to me is part of getting people away from that model.
Because you got to come in with a plan.
Well, not only that, but I would tell you, and is that, you know, the first person, you know, in my opinion, that you should talk to is your spouse. I mean, she has your kids. She can hear these things, you know.
Yeah, and that was my biggest mistake. I thought, there's no way I can let her know.
Mike, I don't
want her to judge me. I don't want her to think the lesser person.
But this is, I mean, what we do, because I love you, right?
I don't want to hurt you.
I'm going to isolate myself over here. I'm going to shove you away.
I'm going to hurt you a different way, though.
Right, and this is going to be good for both of us. But the truth is, we need it more than anybody. We need that intimacy. We need her to know when to come over and put her arms around us and say, hey, how are you doing there, Chief? Like, I'm not too good right now. I know that. Come on, let's go for a walk. We need that. Because when we don't get that, and we wind up in the office of somebody we don't know, that's like the third best recourse, right? First, your significant other. Second, somebody who loves you and cares about you, who won't judge you, right? And third, a stranger in an office someplace trying to make a connection. But it's stupid, right? It's more you think about it is that I love you so much, I'm going to be miserable over here and fuck my own life up, and I'm going to I'm going to shove you away. And
we do and even worse is when we say, I don't want to hurt you, I don't want to bring you into this. But what we're telling them is, we don't want you to be part of this, but we're going to hurt you over a longer duration of time because it's going to cause a rift between me and your relationship. We're going to have these problems. That's what you're doing. Yeah, you're not hurting them right then because you're not going to hurt them. You know, you're actually going to establish a trust bond that's, you know, you're going to bring your relationship even closer, but you don't know that yet. So you think, oh, if I tell them this, I'm going to hurt them, or I'm going to bring them in there, and they're going to think less of me. No, what you're ultimately saying is, I don't give a shit about you. I don't, because all I'm going to do is hurt you over a longer term, a longer time.
And myself.
And cause you more pain over a much longer time, and myself at the same time.
But, Mike.
Bonus.
This is how Grandpa did it. He went to the big one, and he came home, and he didn't talk about
it. He was fine.
Right.
No, Grandpa was screwed up.
And then Uncle Larry, he was in Vietnam. He came home. He didn't talk about it. So this is how men do this shit.
And they're still looking for Uncle Larry in the mountains of Montana.
Exactly. But, I mean, right? But that's how you go. And then when you think about it, it's like, well, I'm not supposed to talk about it. I'm not supposed to talk about this. It's just, it is the stupidest shit. And like I said, I mean, I goof on it, right? Sledge, he took the coward's way out. He wrote about it, right? The son of a bitch.
Yeah, he didn't have to deal with it. He wrote a book about it.
He wrote a book about it. He took the literary escape hatch, you know, because he couldn't deal with his shit. And you sit there and, you know, and you laugh, right? It's like, okay, I got it. So you mean it's okay to talk about it? And I think ultimately that's the gift in post-traumatic winning. That's the gift we're trying to give to young Marines is, hey, don't go down this path, because isolation is the first step in that dark door that involves substance abuse, isolation,
and everything
suicide. And suicide. It's destructive behavior, and it starts with that isolation. And I promise, you know, people out there, I would tell you, there aren't too many spouses that if you looked and said, could I talk to you about what happened to me, they can handle hearing what happened to you, right? They're not going to experience themselves. They're only going to listen to you, and they could probably listen to those words, whether you killed the wrong person, right? Which I've done, right? Mm-hmm. But it was my fault that guy had that cell phone. I mean, that was his fault. And so, can they hear that? Yeah, they can hear it. We've got to get over ourselves, right? We've got to get over ourselves in our own little prison that we put ourselves in, come out of that, and give them a chance to help us. And if you do that, you're probably not going to wind up saying what Mike said to the fictitional therapist that he said, fuck you, I'm pissed. I don't even want to be here. You want to know why? Because you will have already dealt with this, with somebody who loves you and cares about you, who's living in your house. And that's, I think, that is the first step. And we've got to get there. And it's cool that we can be now facilitate that. And I love it. I said that at the Marine Corps Wrestling, Mike. I didn't say that the first time we did it. Because you know what? It's funny. You learn as you do this, and we all learn. But I did it, and some a Vietnam veteran stood up and said, "Hey, I'm a Vietnam veteran. And I met this guy before this thing, and he's exactly right. I didn't talk about it for 25 years. And I started talking about it, and I could not believe the difference in the way I felt. Talk about it. Don't be like us. Right. Talk about it. Talk. And I'll tell you what, and it's pretty powerful when you have, like, guys who are veterans, who are older, who've lived this, who, and again, I've never been told to talk about it by anyone, ever. To this day, anybody senior to me has never said that to me. And so, pretty cool.
Oh, it looks like I'm flying out Sunday.
Good. I hope we meet. I told them to give you the rental car.
Well, are you flying at the same time?
I hope so.
Well, I hope so too, because I'm not coming back up to DCA.
My son just I hadn't called my son John, who lives in Quantico, who I normally stay with. So during this hour, right, I get this Facebook instant message that says, with a picture of a flyer that went out on Facebook from Marine Corps Training and Education Command, which my son's a part of. He's like,
right,
dude, really? And I said, hey,
what?
First to
a
go.
Flyer?
First to go, last to know, right? Because I hadn't told him I was coming back yet. He's like, can I borrow a bedroom? He's like, yeah, no problem. He said, I was just like going through Facebook, and I look at this like, what the hell? So anyway, it's a talk about we're going back there to do post-traumatic winning. So excited to do that. But you know what? Again, this is when you look at how if your feelings are the center of your world and that's how you define your world, if you look at how that sets you up for not living a great life. And if you look how just trying sets you up for failure, and you think like how are young people going to survive today if nobody teaches them what's really waiting for them? It's not good, man. It is not good. It is not good. And
it's going to suck, and it's going to suck hard.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. So what's on the agenda for the rest of the day? You're going to sit there and strum your fingers and wait for everything to get there?
Just going through my notes, drawing up the final plan. Dude, I'm losing my mind.
Why don't you go shoot or hit golf balls or like or do something?
I'll be thinking about wood.
It's all right, but it'll make the day go by.
I can't clear my mind right now.
You can't clutter up your mind with shooting?
No, actually, I was thinking about driving to Fort Worth and going through a wood store, making sure I got everything. Like,
oh
go through
God.
For ideas.
Let's go deeper. Okay, you know what? If we're not going to go shallower, then let's go deeper.
Let's dive. It's how deep this pool is, baby. Let's find the filter at the bottom of the pool.
That's awesome. All right, any final thoughts before you sign off for the day?
No. I'll talk to you later, though. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
I need to talk to you later. It's probably later on tonight or later on this afternoon, whenever you come up, whenever you come up from your deep dive.
All right. Sounds good.
All right, bud. See ya.
Yep.
Be Gunner. How about that for a 15-minute rant? That wasn't bad. Oof. Woo. You know, that's why the chef says this is therapy for me, right? This, you may not know this, but this is therapy for me. Anyway, don't forget to write your congressman. And support the families who are trying to get people to pay attention to them. All right. And as I said, if you're just tuning in, what you're going to hear today is in the first hour, you're going to hear, we'll check the news, but before we check the news, when I vent my spleen in the first 30 minutes, you're going to hear, you know, the commands on bases have to make sure that their soldiers, their sailors, their airmen, their Marines know that, hey, look, if you've got a housing problem, tell us. We want to know. All right? We want to know because we want to be involved. Okay? We're here for you. It's what we do. So if you got an issue, man, the last thing I want to do is hear about it through somebody else. I want to hear about it from you. Because if your family's got an issue, it's a readiness issue for us. And that needs to happen. That needs to happen. Because, again, all you have to do is look at who's being interviewed, who you see. And you don't see anybody on active duty. And the reason you don't is because no matter what they say for publication, what they believe in reality is that it will come back on them. It will impact them adversely. So that needs to change. But you'll hear me talk about that. And what you'll hear is Senator Tom Cotton, who's a former United States Army infantry officer, member of the 101st Airborne and the 506th Parachute Infantry Regiment. I think that's what PIR stands for. And a Ranger, or at least he went to Ranger school, but a veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan. And you'll hear him ask them, you know, can they come to you? Is it a function of your junior leaders to make sure that these things are taken care of? And you'll hear the service chiefs respond. And then he asks them, do I have your word? Do they have your word? And you can speak to them about anybody who suffers any retribution. And again, you know, retribution for standing up for your family? Come on. Anyway, but let me tell you, that needs to happen. And I'll tell you why. Those spouses who are fighting this thing alone, that's not right. They shouldn't be fighting this alone. The people that should be fighting alone are the people who are doing things to not help. They're the ones that should be fighting alone. And again, I just, the stuff I've seen in the last 2 weeks tells me that those spouses are caught between private companies that are maximizing profits and a government who's not paying attention and a chain of command that's washed their hands. And so you have these spouses that are fighting in that arena by themselves. That ain't right. And everybody's saying the right thing. Right? But anybody wearing a uniform ought to start going to meetings and taking the service chiefs at their word. I'm here to fight for my family. I'm here to support my wife. This problem needs to get fixed yesterday. So you'll hear that. And then we'll check other news in the DOD. And then Tim Lynch and Jeff Kenney come on, and we talk a whole lot about nothing. I'm not even sure what we talked about. But you'll hear them. It's moderately entertaining. And then the governor comes on and goes off for about, I don't know, 15 minutes about watching a TV show that pissed him off. Anyway, have a great day. On a Thursday, All Marine Radio. Over and out.